Every time, Shrus, the very chosh Rabbanim, chosh Talmidim, Rabbi Cohn. But we'll at least start off the year this way, even if we don't have to repeat this every time we meet. But it's a big privilege for all of our shiurim to come together, because the shiurim in BMP should not be seen, or any part of the yeshiva for that matter, as what sometimes people call in YU 25 different yeshivas with 25 different rebbeim, 25 rosh yeshivas. Because it would be impossible for us to collectively accomplish the goals that a yeshiva as a whole wishes to accomplish and strives to accomplish with the power of our joint efforts in Avodas Hashem, Yiddishkeit. We all know how one person's presence in the Beis Medrash or lack of presence in the Beis Medrash rubs off a lot, can either strengthen or weaken, chas v'shalom, everyone around them. And when we take a few occasions, maybe 2-3 times a year, to put a larger oilam together, a larger sibur together in one room, not only does it give us a tremendous chizik, it's a big chizik just to see a packed annex with people who are here to devote themselves to growing in Avodas Hashem and to do it together. So the great value in that makes it worthwhile and makes it something that we look forward to, the guys look forward to, the Beim look forward to, and we should take these opportunities to see ourselves not just as individuals in learning, but as people who, on a much greater scale, through what we contribute, ultimately brings a more effective, more resounding, and more profound sense of Liman HaTorah and Eschaskes and Avodas Hashem when we come together for these occasions. I wish you have a Ksivah Sima Tova, and it's a schus to begin with Rabbi Belazon.
Rabosai, this is a very exciting time for me. Usually I run in, like I did just now, very late. Usually walking in while one of the first speakers are speaking. And I miss part of the speech. And I'm usually the last speaker, and I am always like thinking and trying to collect my thoughts. And I can't really focus on the two Talmidei Chacham that are sitting to the right and to the left of me. But Baruch Hashem, I got a schus this year that I walked in, and they decided they would let me say Asher Yotzar and finish and get ready. And now I have the ability to just say what I have to say and really learn what I said in the shir to my Talmidim yesterday, which is really the schus that we have over here, is to hear these two Talmidei Chacham and really make the appropriate hachanas for the Yom HaDin. I'd like to share a thought with you. I didn't share this with anyone. I was just really, literally collecting my thoughts. And this thought already was sprouted in my mind a few weeks ago at the beginning of Elul, when I saw a Mishnah in Peah. And the Mishnah in Peah said something fascinating. Now the Mishnah in Peah really has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah, nothing to do with Tshuva, nothing to do with Yom HaKippur, Yemei Adin, Aseres Yemei Tshuva. But I found the language of Chazal referring to this mitzvah that's found in the Mishnayos of Peah. A few weeks ago we learned about it, that's why Rashi quotes this Mishnah. Eizehu Shikcha. The Mishnah says that when we're in our fields and we drop a few stalks, so the Mishnah says, leave it there. The Mishnah says, let other people have some access, have some parnasa, the aniyim, the destitutes, those should be able to come and have some support from your field. Leave it in your field. But the Mishnah qualifies and the Mishnah says, What amount, what is shikcha? How much is shikcha? So listen to the language of Chazal. Chazal say, Ezu shikcha, kol she'omrim lo areze babal toshuv. What does that mean? It means if you ask the Beis Din, if you ask the rabbis, should I go back for that amount? And the rabbis instruct you and say, no, there is an iser to go back and to return to pick up that amount. That is what has a halachic significance. That is what's called shikcha in halacha. That is what you should leave for the aniyim. If it's such an amount, this is my whole parnasa. And the rabbis say, no, that you can go back for, so then that doesn't have a din of a shikcha. That's what Chazal say. Ezu shikcha kol she'omrim lo harei ze babal tosh. You know, it's fascinating the language that Chazal use. What is shikcha? that which I define as not returning. Chazal could have taught this in many different ways. But I think Chazal perhaps are hinting to us something that we often don't realize when it comes to the mitzvah of tshuva. The Rambam tells us, we know, the Rambam tells a famous Rambam, Uru Yishenim Yishenaschem, the purpose of the shofar is to wake up from our sleep, from our deep sleep. But then the Rambam goes on, and this is a little bit less famous. The Rambam says, Elu Hashokhin Es Ha'emes, those that forget what's true, what's real, what's significant. Rabbosai, you see, a person who doesn't have the ability to do tshuva, Chazal are telling us, a baal toshuv without an ayin, a person who lacks tshuva, hareze bebaal toshuv, one who does not return, is a person who just walks around his life with shikha. That's not important to me. That's not on my radar. I got to tell you, those things that are dear to me, my five children, Bli Ayin Hara, Baruch Hashem, I have not forgot their names. Because they are so dear to me. Because they are people that I think about constantly. That is what a person who lacks in tshuva, it's about. It's because we go throughout the year and we're shocheach. We're shocheach ha'emes. Anything that you really need to remember, Rabosai, you'll make an acronym. You'll make some note cards. I got to remember this number. I got to get this job. I got to remember this guy's name. It's going to happen. Because that's what matters. And Rabosai, it was this Mishnah in Peah that answered a question that bothered to me my whole life. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is poseach Sefer Zichronos? What does it mean, ki hu zocher es kol ha-nishkachos, that we say in the davening of Rosh Hashanah? Rabosai, I hate to be blunt, but that's what I do. That's kfira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is zocher? HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs reminders? HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgets? God is not human! God doesn't have a memory. God is beyond memory. So what in the world are we talking about? And not only we speak about the Sefer Zikaron, we call it Yom HaZikaron. This is Kfira. And the Rav Tzadok HaKohen or Sisei Laila asked this question. And Rav Tzadok says it's not God remembering. It's God mimicking us remembering. You know, we often refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Hashem Tzilcha, is your shade. Hashem mimics your activity. Right in this time, the great tzaddikim, to be a Baal Chesed, to give tzedakah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees you going to give rachmim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give rachmim to you, deliver rachmim to you. Similarly, Hashem doesn't need triggers for His memory. Hashem is not Sheikheach, Hashem never has Shikcha. But says Rav Tzadok, if a person begins and starts a new path on Rosh Hashanah, that he's now going to remember, he's going to recall what he's missing, he's going to recall what it felt like when he did that sin b'chadrei chadorim. If he's now going to recollect, he's not going to walk around and just say a hefker, a life that it doesn't matter, it's shikcha, who cares? A person who decides, no, I'm no longer going to violate tshuva, I'm not going to be a baal toshuv. Enough of this shikcha. I'm going to open up the Sefer Zichronos. I'm going to live life with a memory. I'm going to live a life what that felt like. Then that's a person that has a HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of them. That's a person that has what's meaningful in front of them. Then a HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the same thing. Says Rav Tzadok, Sefer Zichronos is not a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Chiddush Niflo. Sefer Zichronos is not a HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zichronos, because he needs Zichronos. Sefer Zichronos is him opening up because we open up our book of Zichronos. Because we start to make our life real. Because we start to jog our memory. Because we start to put things b'seder, and as if we're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabosai, that is what the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says something that I really didn't understand until I saw this Rosh Tzaddik. The Gemara says there's a concept in Halacha of Ein Kategor Nase Sanego. The prosecutor can't be the defendant can't be the prosecutor. You need to have different individuals that are fighting on different angles, on different sides. You can't have something that represents the Egel Azov going in to be the defendant and to try to defend you on your behalf. But says the Gemara, I want you to recognize something. This limiting factor only exists in the Kodesh HaKadosh. This limiting factor is only in one area, in one place. But says the Gemara that you should not use a shofar shalapara. The Gemara says that on shofar Rosh Hashanah, I should not use a shofar of a cow, because it also remembers the Cheda Egel. And the question is, I love your shuls, Rabosai. I love my shul, I love all the shul, I love the Beis Medrash that we're in right now. But this is not the Kodesh HaKadosh. So why is there that limiting factor of being, of having the din of Ein Kategor Nase Sanego? Why can't we use the same shofar that comes from something that is reminiscent of a chait? And says the Gemara something striking. Says the Gemara that no. Shofar, kevan de lezikaron ka'asi. Since shofar is, let's translate the words, is coming lezikaron. To achieve what, Rabosei? What's zikaron? To remind. To bring back memories. So then what? Says the Gemara, Kaven de lezikaron ka'asi, kilifnim dami. When a person opens up the Sefer Zichronos, when a person looks back at what he was involved with, when a person puts the memory as a reality, says the Gemara, that's kilifnim, that's as if you're standing in front of the Melech Malchei Amlochim. A person that lives without shikha, a person that doesn't ignore tshuva, a person that's trying to jog his memory, he is a person that puts HaKadosh Baruch Hu right in front of his eyes. Perhaps that's what we're doing when we're coming in front of the king. We're not coming to say Shalom Aleichem. We're coming to start the Aseres Yimei Tshuva and put HaKadosh Baruch Hu right in front of our eyes. Kilifnim dami. That we are now ponim v'fonim with the Melech Malchei Amlachim. You know why? Because we just started with the Zichronos. Because we left the world of Shikcha. Because we started the tshuva process. We need to jog our memories. We need to stop being shocheach emes. We need to be real. You know, eschatai ani maskir hayom. If I had the chance to go back to a Broadway show, the one Broadway show I would go to, it was unbelievable. I went as a child. It was The Lion King. If anyone saw The Lion King here, the movie, the Broadway show, I was a young kid. I wasn't mature. And I was bawling. There was just something that connected there. That connected to Avodas Hashem, that connected to my neshama, and I don't think that I was able to articulate it until I started like thinking about these ideas about Zikaron. You know, because there's a scene in The Lion King that you'll try to, you'll help me out here. I know, I remember Simba, and what was the father's name that died? Mufasa. And Scar was the bad guy, right? So Scar and Simba, right? Simba was running away from Scar, and Scar was the leader, and Scar was having that influence on him. And suddenly when, you know, in the turning point in the story, so what's his name? The gorilla, he finds, what?
Rafiki,
thank you. See, this is what we need. You know? Exactly. So Rafiki brings over Simba. And he shows him a reflection of himself. By the way, might be another mucker for Tashlich, that he shows a reflection of himself in the river, and then he says, "You see your father?" And he says, "No, I don't see my father. What are you talking about?" He says, "Look deeper." He says, "Look deeper."
says, you see your father, and that's what Rosh Hashanah is. Mufasa was the king, and he just saw his father. And what did he see his father? His father wasn't really there. But what did he see his father? His father said him one message that gave him the whole koyach to be about tshuva and to go back and to beat Scar. And you'll remember the rest of the story, whatever, your chazer soon. Rabbi Yisai, what did he say? He said, when he saw his face, when he was with Nimdami, what did he say? He said, remember who you are. Remember why you're here. Remember where you come from. Remember. The Sefer HaZichronos. Stop with the shikha. Let's stop living a life of hefkeris, of just forgetting, of not having to recall, of just living life with selective memory loss. This is not important. This is not important. No. Once you put things into perspective, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front of you, and you open up the Sefer Zichronos, that's what we're doing in this mitzvah of tshuva. Rabbi Yisai, my wife sent me a fascinating article. And I don't know fully what to make of it. But unfortunately, one of the most horrific illnesses that you can watch a person suffer, as I did, as my father suffered from this, is brain disease. Brain cancer, Alzheimer's, and it's so difficult, not only for the patient, but for those, the loved ones around him. And there was a study that was just done about certain pills that are helping with memory loss, and they found that one of the antidotes, one of the entities that really could help with memory loss is pills that they make from pomegranate seeds, from the rimon. Now, I'm not sure what that means and if it's proven, and scientifically you could debate this, Rabosai, but perhaps the mitzvahs, the schus that we say on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, that we should be malei mitzvahs kerimon, what the rimon represents. Living a life of taryag mitzvahs, living a life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front of me, then that is what cures the shikha. Person who says, I am no longer going to violate Baal Toshuv, I am now going to fix my shikha. That is through living a life of a pomegranate, through living a life of a rimon.
First, so it can be Belzan. Mar Rosh Hashanah that we're familiar with tells us that one of the core elements of the day of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's reflected in so many ways. This aspect of proclaiming Kadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, establishing Kadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, is reflected in so many ways in our davening. One that we counter the most, for sure. We switch from Akel HaKadosh, from Melech HaKadosh, to the Aseres Mitzvah, and maybe more powerfully, to tie right to the center of Rosh Hashanah, is the way in which we are Messiahim, the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, whereas other Yom Tovim, it's always Mekadosh Yisrael V'Azmanim. Mekadosh Yisrael V'Azmanim. Not only are we not specific about the Yom Tov, but we also leave it much more focusing on how the Kedusha came about. Whereas, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, not only do we get more specific, we don't leave it simply as Mekadosh Yisrael v'Yom HaZikaron, but it's Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz. Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz Mekadosh Yisrael v'Yom HaZikaron. We add in this critical line, which really defines the day. Defines the day because we begin the brachos, the musaf, that really sets apart the tefillah in Rosh Hashanah, with Malchus. Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz Mekadosh Yisrael Yom HaZikaron defines the day, the Malchus. Same time, we can spend years, decades of our life trying to figure out, trying to define what exactly that means. What is Malchus? It's so important. Yitnu l'cha kesem l'cha, we're crowning Kadosh Baruch Hu, one of the Ramazim of Reb Saad Yagon. What the shofar represents is supposed to be like a trumpet that's announcing the coronation of the king. These terms are so so hard to wrap our head around, to put our finger on, because besides the fact that we're a little bit divorced from the notion of Malchus, We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our hamlocha. He doesn't need our coronation. And even after we've done it. So what changed from the day before Rosh Hashanah to the day after Rosh Hashanah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't the Melech. Erev Rosh Hashanah, now he is the Melech. On Rosh Hashanah, what are we talking about? So on the most basic level, you look in the Svarim. So what it means to establish the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means to appreciate Ein Od Milvado. That the will of Hashem, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, the Torah, the mitzvos, his path for how history is going to unfold and how different elements of what goes on in the world overlap and interlock and emerge in the world that he's created and our place in it. So Ein Od Milvado means that Ratzon is the priority, number one. He rules over the universe, and that Ratzon is absolute. The driving force behind everything that occurs. On Rosh Hashanah, man was created. Adam Rishon was created. And when Adam Rishon was created, that was the first time, in Melech Bloam, the first time that there could be a manifestation, there could be an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, because there were people to carry it out. And when we come to that same day, each year on Rosh Hashanah, the day that Adam Rishon was created, so Kol Bo Yolam, and specifically Klal Yisrael, who have that responsibility to manifest that Ratzon, following in the path of the first person created on this day, so that's what we're here to mark. Okay. That still seems to be a very lofty, very high madriga of understanding Malchus Hashem, the fulfillment of his Ratzon, and making that number one and the only thing. I think there's something else, something that's very, very different, and maybe something that's a little easier, at least as a stepping stone, but definitely as the first step to focus on a personal level in understanding what Malchus Hashem is, what we're doing in Rosh Hashanah and declaring that Malchus, because it can transform our relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at the Gemara in Tazayin Rosh Hashanah, which derives each one of the components of the Shemona Esrei, Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros, it says, Imru Lufanei Malchus, say the bracha, say the psukim of Malchus, Kedei Shetamlichuni Aleichem, in order that you should make HaKadosh Baruch Hu your king upon yourselves. It always bothered me that the focus of this making Hashem king, just the phrase that the Gemara uses, the grammar, seems to be more focused on us than it is on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It resonates with us to say that because Hashem doesn't need us to make him king. So it would make more sense if there's something we can take out of what we're saying with Malchus, that it's really about defining us, the Jewish people, and not about defining Hashem, who of course defies all definition. I'm going to try to illustrate what I'm saying with a mashal or two. I hope they're not too out of the box. But I never saw The Lion King, so I got to do the best I can. I was in 11th grade, had the schluss that year to have, as a Rebbe in MTA, Rabbi Yitzhak Cohn. And what can I say? When Rabbi Yitzhak Cohn was promoted to become Rosh Yeshiva in YU, so obviously the guys in Yeshiva are very much stand to gain from the fact that he's in the Beis Medrash every single day. But it was a big loss for MTA. I was okay to have him one of the last years that he taught at MTA.
Now we know why you've never watched Lion King.
So he came into the room one day, and for the new guys who maybe haven't had the chance to experience Rav Cohn yet, please take advantage. I hope you'll appreciate it. Maybe you've heard him in other places. He came in. We were all sitting there, like good high schoolers, before the Rebbe came into the room. We're all sitting there, slams on the desk, and he says, Ashreinu Matov Chalkenu, I could have been a bus driver. I could have been a truck driver. We had mamish, no idea what he was talking about. No idea what he was talking about. As he explained his mustache moves, so I don't know if he was at the gas station the day before or something like that, but he was next to a truck driver who was also filling up a tank. And what he described in vivid detail, like only Rabbi Cohn could illustrate, was just like the absolute vulgarity, the base loneliness, unrefined, unennobled, character of, and I know from truck drivers, I know from bus drivers, so this is not a characterization of anyone who drives, you know, with a commercial license. But that individual who we met, which maybe has a certain stereotype of someone who had nothing to live for other than his paycheck, and it reflected itself in the way he acted, the way he held himself, the way he dressed, the way he spoke, or the way he yelled at people, just totally a lack of the tzura of the Tzelem Elokim. It could have been a monkey. Could have been someone who just like, you know, just that was the way he was interacting with the people at the gas station. Okay, I wasn't there, but I think we can try to picture what he was describing. Ashreinu Matov Chalkinu, I could have been a truck driver. And the message he was trying to drive home to us was, you can look around the world you live in, you can look around sometimes even closer than the big world, your own environments closer to home, and you can see people who you wonder if they really know what they're living for. You wonder if the fact that they're a Jew, the fact that they have they can attribute significance to their Yiddishkeit ever dawned on them and ever impacted their thought process, their decisions, how they hold themselves and how they behave. And again, you know, we talk about this example all the time, not just in Shir, but in YU. You can have a person who's so driven on the internship and the job and making the money and buying the house and everything else that he's, and the next, you know, whether it's the vacation or the car, whatever is at the next stage, that you wonder, maybe I'm not a truck driver, but there are other ways in which a lack of hakar, a lack of recognition of Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, how have I been directed in the decisions that I make in my life? And in so many ways, I think Rav Pinkus talks about this Barichas at the beginning of Shabbos Malchus. So this is what Malchus Shemaim can mean to us. Another mashal, and then we'll try to elaborate a little more. This goes back before the Lion King. It was back before I was born. So I don't know if you guys remember them. When I was a young baseball fan growing up in the 80s, there was a hero. Wasn't a hero of any particular team. He was a hero of Major League Baseball and the American people, which of course are so intimately and intricately connected. His name was Rick Monday. Anyone ever hear of Rick Monday? Rick Monday was a right fielder for the Dodgers. The Dodgers won the World Series in the 80s. It was 1974, I think. So nothing special in terms of what he did for the world, for baseball. Didn't really have a very impressive career. But at that time, he was right fielder for the Dodgers. And I think they were playing the Phillies. And one day, playing the Phillies, the seventh inning stretch or something like that, some in between innings, a bunch of hippies jump out of the stands and run to center field. They throw an American flag down on the floor, and they start dousing it with lighter fluid, and one of them strikes a match. And you can YouTube this, okay? It's a famous clip. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Rick Monday, never heard from him before, never heard from him afterwards, runs in from the outfield, scoops up the flag, runs away with it before they can light it on fire, security arrests the guys, take him out of stands, and the crowd goes wild. And for his 15 minutes of fame, Rick Monday was an American hero, because he saved the flag. And you have to ask yourself, and I was hearing about this 15 years later. It's a piece of fabric. Just a flag. He wasn't a very special ball player. And what he did, almost anyone would have done if they were in that same situation. Why was it so meaningful? Why was it something that resonated so much for the American people? The answer is, the flag, for Americans for sure, it's a symbol of something so much greater than, you know, 3 feet by 4 feet of cotton or whatever it is. It represents the core values of the mission, our humanity, our democracy, something which America tries, you know, to spread throughout the whole world and protect people who live in countries who don't enjoy the benefits of democracy. It's something which so much defines an American person that we're outraged when someone tries to disrespect it. If they had been successful in burning the flag, every single person watching that would have felt as if they themselves were burnt. Something inside of them, someone ripped out their heart. Because as an American, you can understand why you relate, you identify with the symbols
of what makes you who you are, what makes your society what it is, and what makes where you live the place you want to be, and where you're successful, and where you can enjoy freedom. You're going to stand at attention during the Star Spangled Banner, which, by the way, is mostly about the flag. And why does it bother some people so much if someone kneels during the Star Spangled Banner? Because, again, it's like you're cutting out my heart. Like, that's who I am. That's what I do. That defines me. Malchus Shamayim is our flag. Just like a police officer or firefighter wears a badge on their shoulder of an American flag. Even if you're part of the NYPD, you wear an American flag because that says something deeper and more profound about who you are than the name tag, you know, Gomez or whatever it says on your shirt. The American flag tells us who you really are at the deepest level. Malchus Shamayim is not just that we define HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the king. But even more so, it defines us as being a member of that Malchus. I'm a citizen in the democracy of the United States. I am a citizen in the kingdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all the symbols of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus automatically become as important to me as that flag on that sunny April day in 1974. We say in davening all the time, "Kerav tonu malkenu lavo desecha." Some of Rishonim say that's actually referring to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, "Kerav tonu malkenu," where we emphasize the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are the words that come right afterwards? "Kerav tonu malkenu lavo desecha." V'shimcha hagadol aleinu karasa. When we define HaKadosh Baruch Hu as his Malchus, when we buy into that and we come close to him, the result is not, oh, now Hashem's wearing a crown. Maybe, but that's tangential at the moment. The focus is v'shimcha hagadol aleinu karasa. We now become card-carrying members, people who identify with that same closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. And when you have that, then you can sing Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu. Because you've just now lent a whole new dimension of meaning and purpose to your life, goals that are much more worthwhile, and you can create a vision for yourself of where you're going. Because you now have that citizenship. You identify with something that now defines you. There's only one major difference between this and the American flag. Why do we protect the American flag? Because it represents rights. In Yiddishkeit, being part of the Malchus of Hashem also defines responsibilities. It means what I have to do. It means that I have to be galvanized to accomplish more, to be, to act like a ben melech in the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not like a truck driver. Not like someone who doesn't have that internal hakara of the kedusha of my neshama, everything that entails, and again, what that means to be a subject in a kingdom where having that membership can shape what I'm doing with my life, where I'm going with my life. I started thinking about this about 4 years ago because Rosh Hashanah time, I don't know if any of you can remember, the Rebbeim can remember, August 2014, the day before yeshiva started, our yeshiva lost one of its great Rosh Yeshivas, Gershon Yankelevich. Gershon Yankelevich came over from the Mir in Europe, Shanghai. He was Rav Schechter's Rebbe in like seventh grade or something like that. Yankelevich, I feel like a responsibility to pass this on to a new generation of Talmidim. Yankelevich gave shir every single day in yeshiva until the age of 104. 104! He came in. You could watch him. A cab pulled up from the Bronx on 185th Street. I had the schluss to sometimes help him out of the cab, walk him up to first hall, and he had Talmidim. He had a small shir. Wasn't easy for him. But every single day, till the last day of the Zman at 104, he gave shiur till the last day he could. 104. It's crazy. It's the nisim and the flaws. And I remember thinking, like, how do you do that? How do you make it all that time, and never give up? About the same time, I went to visit my wife's grandmother. She should live and be well. She's 90, close to 100. Kanai Hara, okay. She lives in an assisted living home in Chicago. And Baruch Hashem, she's very active, very sharp. She's with it. She only recently gave up her driver's license. And she's the life of the party wherever she goes. Amish, tremendous mita. Spoke about Purim, about being young. And I visit her, and I look around. Fortunately, not everyone is in that same state. And if you've ever gone to a place like that, it could be depressing.
be very depressing. On the one hand, you can see people who are in that gewaltige state, very energetic. On the other hand, you can also see people who, Nebuch, they're sitting in a wheelchair, and their daily schedule is going up and down the elevator, waiting for the next meal to start. And in between, they're just watching the reruns of the 6 o'clock news again and again and again. I'm over-dramatizing, I'm not trying to be cynical. But when you see Rabbi Yankelevich, and then you see people who are maybe even the same age, a little bit younger than him, and you just like, you compare, like, what happened? What happened? What happened? I don't know the people in the nursing home. But I can tell you what it inspired me to think about. It inspired me to say that Rabbi Yankelevich gave shiur to the age of 104. It never got boring. He never got tired. He never ran out of steam because at 24, forget 100, at 24, Torah was his life. He knew that whatever he was doing, running away from the Nazis, Torah was his love, his asek, and his focus whenever he had the chance. So that never dies. Odi nuvun beseva shenin v'ranim. It never dies. It never expires. It never gets boring. There's always more to learn. There's always more excitement. You can go into Borough. I've seen this before. You can go into Borough Park to like a minion factory at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you'll see 80-year-olds fighting with each other over daf yomi. Why? Because they're doing the same chavrus they've been doing for 60 years. Mamish, you've seen that before. It's crazy. And we're struggling to get through a morning seder. They're 80 years old. As opposed to someone who, from the age of 25. Goes out into the world, and like I said before, he's just going from one state, getting an internship, getting the job, making the money, trying to pay for the vacation. So and all leads up to what? Retirement. So when I retire, now I can do all the things I wanted to do. Now I'm going to travel around the world. Okay, give it a couple years. You're going to run out of places to go. You buy your place in Florida, spend 6 months there. Okay, these are, at some point, all you're left with is the 6 o'clock news, because if you had nothing else that defined you as being part of the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the flag I wear on my shoulder at all times, call your tefillin, call your yarmulke, call your tzitzis, whatever you want. I'm wearing that on my shoulder all the time. Then there never will be a point in time where I have nothing else to do. There never will be a point where I've run out of places to go, things to see. And there will always be that constant excitement and purpose. And I'll never have to say to myself, why am I acting like a truck driver? Because I'll be a Ben Melech. And a Ben Melech always has a mission. Just try to be Messiah. 2 more minutes. I read in the Rebbetzin Machlis biography. I forgot, maybe someone remind me. Rebbetzin Machlis, or Rabbi Machlis, maybe one of the Leib Torah guys, named a certain song as the national anthem for Klal Yisrael. I don't remember what it was, but I remember disagreeing very humbly. I think the national anthem of Bosai is none other than the song that we open up Malchus with. And that is the song of Aleinu. We don't look at it as a song or a national anthem, because we rush through it the rest of the year, 3 times a day. Chick-chock, as fast as we can, wrapping our tefillin, and we're out of there. Bosai, if you look in some siddurim like the Rokeach, Aleinu never existed at the end of Shachar Mincha Maariv until relatively recent. If you look in the Rokeach Siddur, the only time Aleinu ever appears is in Malchus. And it opens up Malchus. And when you sing it like the Chazan sings it on Rosh Hashanah, taka sounds like the national anthem you'd sing when the king walks into the stadium. Aleinu l'shabeach. I don't want to torture anyone anymore. But if you like close your eyes, you can see the flag waving. And you can be filled with, no offense to Tikva, you know, but you can be filled with a national pride, whether you live in Eretz Yisrael, you live in Chutz La'aretz, like, Aleinu l'shabeach, ladona kol. And we're both like, what is the theme? The theme is, don't be a truck driver. It's crazy. The national anthem, the way I started with the definition of Malchus, Einod Melvado, it's there. Hu Elokeinu, Einod, Emes Malkeinu, it's there. But that's at the end. What's the first thing you say? Before you define the Malchus, the first thing you say is, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for not making me a truck driver. You didn't make my goral like them. You gave me something so meaningful to live for. You gave me so much more to accomplish. So much more that I can do. I want to sing this song every day. Like, it's instead of putting the flag on my shoulder. Sing it with meaning. It's a national anthem. And if someone kneels, you just start a, you know, social media attack on it. It's huge, Rabosa. This is huge. That's what we say in the tefillah. Hashem HaMelucha Moshe Bagoyim.
Vilna Gaon Pshat, they say, is that HaKadosh Baruch is a melech willingly over us. Moshe, like Memshala, Amashol Tem Shol Banu, against the will on the Goyim. I think there's another Pshat. Hilasem HaMelucha, Umoshe BaGoyim. By the Goyim, he's just a Moshe. He's pulling strings, he's telling them what to do, directing traffic, directing history. But for everybody else, for the Jews, he's a melech. Because having a melech gives us that patch to wear on our shoulders, gives us that membership to the citizenship of Malchus Shemayim, and at the time of Rosh Hashanah, when we're looking ahead to the year, it gives us the ability to plan what I want to do, what I want to accomplish, who do I want to be this year. I don't want to be a truck driver. I want to be a subject of the king HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be proud of, that I will be proud of myself, because the Malchus, more than it defines HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has the capacity to define who we are as members of that Malchus.
First, the second one.
That's the only reason why I agreed.
Okay, Brishus Raibel's on our Vishnal. I remember when I was in YU, I remember when September 11th took place. I remember very distinctly walking right over here by the restrooms. And I remember one of my friends, someone who I grew up with in Philadelphia, came over to me and said, "Did you hear a plane flew into the Twin Towers?" And the rest of the day, everyone was totally captivated by it. It was a very difficult day. It was a difficult time, obviously, for anyone on planet Earth who was paying attention. And I remember a number of years after, a lot of different books came out about September 11th, about 9/11. I remember reading a book, a Jewish book, and in there was a description of the experience on September 11th by the executive director of Hatzalah, Rabbi Mechel Handler. And he writes Nisim v'Neflos about his experience. Very, very scary things. Very frightening things. And he describes that moment where he finally was able to have contact with the outside world. When he finally emerged from falling beams and glass and debris that he had inhaled, and he was coughing and he could barely speak and he barely survived. And he finally got out enough from the epicenter of that horrible tragedy of that terrorist attack, and he was finally able to make contact with his wife. And he has a whole long description of his experience, but I'll never forget the way he described that first phone call to his wife. Here's what he said. And he could barely talk. His wife said he was coughing up like literally shards of glass for days. He's able to make contact with his wife, and he says into the phone, he says, "I was trapped. I got out alive." All in between coughs. "I was trapped. I got out alive. Due to Shuva, Mashiach is coming." That's it. That's all he could get out. "I was trapped. I got out alive. Due to Shuva, Mashiach is coming." And I often think about that description. I probably read it at least 10 years ago. But I often think about it in Chodesh Elul. I know already our minds are heading towards Rosh Hashanah. But I often think about it in Chodesh Elul because that's really what Chodesh Elul is. Chodesh Elul gives us the opportunity. I was trapped. We came out of the Bein HaMitzarim. We came out of a Tammuz and Av, which we refer to as Bein HaMitzarim, a time where the Jewish people feel trapped. Golus, Chorban, Tisha B'Av, feeling trapped. And we got out. We didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't perfect. But in a certain sense, we planted seeds for Geula on Tisha B'Av, and hopefully we're that much closer now than we were before this past Bein HaMitzarim. And we got out. And now Chodesh Elul comes and says, "Okay, so you got out alive. You got out alive. So now's the time to do tshuva, because Mashiach is coming. Because it's time to crown the king once and for all, as the Mishnah was just describing. It's time for a Jew to take advantage of these days and to understand Elul is the opportunity for us to prepare ourselves. Coming from, again, that world of the Bein HaMitzarim, heading towards that world of being Mamlich, the king, placing a crown on the head of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a time, like Ramechel Handler said, "I was trapped, I got out alive. However, we made it to Chodesh Elul. It's the last month since last Rosh Hashanah, so we need to be thankful that we've made it this far into the calendar year, Baruch Hashem. We've made it through most of the year. We should all be zochet to finish it in good health. We've made it. We need to reflect on the fact that we've made it. We're alive, Baruch Hashem. And therefore, do tshuva, do something. do something. A Jew has to look at these days as an opportunity to do something. So our Penner said the other week, it doesn't have to be something new. It can be something that you're already doing. But to do it with the sense that I'm alive, Mashiach is coming, and I need to be ready. I heard a beautiful insight from my friend Rabbi Shai Schechter, Shlita. He said a beautiful pshat. He said, one of the lines that we say, and we'll say it a lot during the Yom Noraim, is Avinu Malkeinu, No al tishivenu reikal milfanech. The Pasha Pshat is, we come to Hashem, we say, Rabbanu Shalom, I have a lot of things that I need. I need parnasa, I need health. Some people need shidduchim, some people need this and that. I have a whole list of things that I need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't turn me away empty-handed. Please don't allow me to leave empty-handed. Reikam. I shouldn't leave here reik. But Rav Shai Schechter said the same thing is true in the realm of ruchnias. We have such a big opportunity to take something from these days. Chaval, if we're sitting in Chodesh Cheshvan, Chaval, if we're sitting here in Chodesh Cheshvan saying, and not being able to answer the question, what did I take out of the Yom Noraim? What did I get from the Yemei Ratzon? Hashem, please, I'm asking for your help. Allow me to be awake enough and alert enough as the alarm clock of the shofar is blaring in my ears. Allow me to realize, Avinu Malkeinu, Al Tishivenu Reikam Milfanecha, don't allow me to walk away empty-handed. Don't need to go through these days just trying to survive. I was trapped out, I'm alive, do something, do tshuva, we have to do something. A Jew has to live with a sense of achrayus to do something. So that when all of this Kufas Hashana is over, you can walk away saying, you know what, I can still hear the sound of the shofar. It's going to echo throughout the entire year. I could still hear the tunes of the Yom Noraim. The Rebbe of Siget, the Yetav Lev, that's where Satmar comes from. The Rebbe of Siget said, a beautiful drasha. He says, the parshios that we read this time of the year, and by this time of the year I mean really from the Beinu Mitzarim through Chodesh Elul, Tishrei, as we wrap up the Torah, Chumash Devarim. The names of the parshios are giving us a mission statement. A mission statement for these days. Eil ha'dvarim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael. Moshe has something to say. Moshe, the great leader, he's wrapping up his life. And what does he say to Bnei Yisrael? Dvarim, eil ha'dvarim, here's what I want to say. Ve'eschanan. I'm just going to go through the parshas. Ve'eschanan, it's time to start davening. It's time to start pleading. Tchina, bakasha, ve'eschanan, to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because ekev, dvarim, ve'eschanan, ekev. Ekev. Ekev means what? The heel, the end, because the end of the year has come. We're wrapping up. It's Chodesh Elul. We need to wake up a little bit. That's what the shofar is all about. Ekev, it's the end of the year. Re'ei shoftim. We see that the melech is coming to judge. Re'ei shoftim. We see that the time of judgment has come. And chaver, guess what? It goes by very quickly. What comes after shoftim? Kiseitze kisavo. Kiseitze kisavo. The year is ending, the new year is beginning. There's a lot we need to be thinking about. Make an accounting of Tafshanayin Ches, start setting goals for Tafshanayin Tes. And the hope is, what's the hope? Nitzavim vayelech, atem nitzavim hayom, which Chazal say hayom is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. You're going to come to Rosh Hashanah. And the hope is, after nitzavim vayelech, when you walk away, Ha'azinu, you're still listening, v'zos ha'bracha, to the bracha that you brought upon yourself during these days. Amazing drasha, no? The Yetav Lev from Siget. Dvarim, hear that v'eschanan, you need to daven, because ekev, it's the end of the year, re'ei shoftim, start to realize, see that you're going to be judged, ki seitze, the year's ending, ki savo, the new year's coming. Atem nitzavim ayom, we're about to come to Rosh Hashanah. Vayelech, when you walk away, ha'azinu, can you still hear the bracha that hopefully you acquired for yourself and your family during these days. It's an opportunity that would be so chaval if we didn't do something. Chodesh Elul kabbalistically corresponds to asiyah, to doing. You got to just do something. It can't be that these days go by where I didn't do anything, where I kind of just, again, ducked my head, hoped that Hashem wouldn't catch me, hoped that I'll just, you know, stamp my passport, give me another year of life. You have to commit yourself to do something. We're setting goals for the year ahead. Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, based on a Medrash in Koheles Rabbah, it's a famous passage in the first Shari of the Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah describes how tragic it would be for a Jew to not take advantage of these days. The Medrash gives a mashal of a group of robbers who are sitting in jail, and they dig their way out. They've been working, and to dig a hole, to make an escape. Finally, they escape, and there's this one fellow who doesn't leave. He's sitting there. And finally, the guards realize what's going on. They come to the jail, so they see everyone has escaped except for this one fellow. So you could say he's a big tzaddik. Wow, he's a great guy, you know? I got to do my time. That's not how the melech saw it. It's not how the warden saw it. It's not how the cops saw it when they showed up. They looked at this guy and they said, "Are you an idiot? You had a tunnel to escape and you stayed here?" And not only that, Basar Beis HaSawar, says the Medrash, quoted by Rabbeinu Yonah, the head of the jail comes, he sees the machteres, he sees that what? He sees there's a tunnel. He sees there's an opening. Va'ishahu odenu otzur, and this person is just sitting there, he's stuck. V'yachol sammatem, and he starts to beat him. "Why are you beating me up? I did the right thing, I didn't escape." "You're a fool, what kind of idiot are you? You had an opportunity to run, and you didn't. Kishe yom. What a waste of life. What a wasted opportunity. Halo machteres chatur alifanecha. Ve'ichlo imarta himaleita nafshecha. How did you not escape when the pathway was right there for you?" Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a pathway during these days. Mechila, which means forgiveness, also means mechilot, as it's used in several places in the Mishnah and Gemara, means a tunnel. It's a tunnel. Hashem gave us a tunnel. How could you not take advantage of that tunnel? What a tragedy would it be. The Arizal says, Chodesh Elul, as we know, as many Rashi Tevos, Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li, many different Rashi Tevos. The Arizal brings an interesting one from Parshas Mishpatim. Pasuk says in Mishpatim, describing a Jew who killed someone, Bishogeg, and needs to now run for his life to an Ir Miklat. Va'asher lo tzodav elokim ina liyado. If Hashem made, you weren't lying in ambush to harm someone, you just accidentally killed someone, and God brought it to your hand. V'samti l'chol makum asher yanus shama. So you have to make a place for him to run to. So the Arizal says, ina aleph liyado lamed, v'samti vav alecha lamed elul. Ina liyado v'samti l'cha as rashi tevos elul. What does this have to do? What is this Jew running for his life, escaping to the ir anidat, to the ir miklat? What does it have to do with elul? The Chida writes, in the 1700s, quoting that same Medrash that Rabbeinu Yonah quoted several hundred years earlier, the Chida says, it's exactly that Medrash. Ina liyado v'samti l'cha. If God gives you an ir miklat, if Hashem gives you a place to escape to, a safe haven, how could you not take advantage of it? Why would you not take advantage of that opportunity? I was trapped. We got out. I'm alive. Do tshuva. Mashiach is coming. That's the feeling that we have to have during these days. Everyone's trying to figure out, is Elul something to be scared of? Is Elul something to be excited about? It's a mix of emotions. We all understand that. It's a big mix of emotions. I saw an amazing explanation of the fear of these days in a sefer called Torah Savram. That's what it looks like. It's an old sefer. It was written by Rav Avram Grudzinski, who was the Mashkiach in Slobodka, very close Talmud of the Alter Slobodka. And he has a piece from 1938. He died during the war. He wasn't killed by the Nazis, but he was in a ghetto and he became ill, and he passed away from his illness. 1938, Parsha Shoftim, he has a piece called Shofar Shel Elul. And he asks a very simple question. Elul should be the happiest time of the year. Why is Elul supposed to be scary? We've heard descriptions of Elul being scary. The cherda of Elul, the trepidation, the aima, the year of Elul. He says, what's scary about Elul? Elul's awesome. Rosh Chodesh Elul, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, come back up the mountain. We're going to get a second luchos. On Yom Kippur, Moshe delivers us the second luchos. Elul shows there's more chances, there's more opportunities. Elul should be so joyous. And yet we know there's an element of Elul that's supposed to be what? A certain fear of Elul. A certain emas hadin that we feel throughout Chodesh Elul. As the tzaddikim said, that in Chodesh Elul, everything has to be Eludik. The way I eat is different in Elul. The way I sleep is different in Elul. My daily schedule, it's Eludik. And the picture in the Bali Musar is always one of dread and awe and fear. So says Rav Avram Grudzinski in the Torah Savram, I don't understand. It's gavaldik. It's an amazing opportunity. And he quotes the Medrash in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that says that when Elul comes, there's supposed to be a tremendous fear. Moshe's being invited up, second chances, more opportunities, but you should be scared. What are you scared of? So it's a long essay. I can't read much inside right now. But he says in one line, Cherda kazu omer pirkei d'Eliezer. You know what the fear is? Ma inyan acherda. What's the fear of Elul? The fear of Elul is that you lost the luchos rishonos. You missed out on luchos rishonos. Ein acharami. It's gavaldik time. You're getting the second luchos. But chaver, you lost the first luchos. How could you do that? How are we so foolish to lose the first luchos? Remind yourself, don't be an idiot. Don't lose the second luchos. That's the fear. The fear is the possibility of messing up and losing out on an opportunity that's being granted to us. Cher de kazu. The Pirkei Avos says, the fear of Elul, ki tzricha lios b'chodesh Elul, hashofer modia ki yamim mu'usharim holchim uban, ki seitzei ki savo. Ki seitzei, tafshanayin ches, could have been much better. Ki savo. Be afraid that, God forbid, you're not going to change in tafshanayin ches. And God forbid the trajectory of your life may never change if you don't get serious. The fear of Chodesh Elul, v'yacharim atzimcha tzarechu lios charit shalo yabir osa. The fear of losing out. Ki b'li tshuva yefshar shalo la'abir osa. The fear of squandering the opportunity. The fear of having a tunnel that's sitting there right in front of me and I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs in my jail cell. Not taking advantage of that opportunity for a person to change his life. That would be a terrible tragedy. The Medrash, the Alkut Shimoni, has an amazing description of how a Jew sometimes, unfortunately, misses out and then comes blaming Hashem afterwards, as if Hashem wasn't there for you. The Yalkut Shimoni in Yeshaya on the Pasuk, Nidrashti Lelo Sha'alu, Hashem says, I made myself available even for those who weren't seeking, weren't asking. Nimtzesi Lelo Vikshuni. Medrash gives a mashal. Mashal L'mal Davar Doma. Imagine a fellow who's traveling around, a tourist, a tayar, is traveling around. Says the Medrash, it's getting dark. And he comes to a farmer. And the farmer says, listen, you got to get out from outside, come on in. I'll set you up. I don't have the greatest accommodations. You can sleep in my barn. But you got to get out. You got to get out from, it's getting dark. A lot of wild animals come out at night. It's not safe. I know the area. You need to get inside. And this tourist said, no, there's still time, you know. Still a little bit of light out and there's so many sights and attractions nearby. Maybe I'll come back later. He says, I'm telling you, you got to get out of the streets. It's not safe to be in the streets at night. You need to come inside. And he turns him down. This tayar is wandering around. It's getting really dark. It's getting really scary. And he realizes that he made a terrible mistake. So he comes running and he's banging on the door. Says the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni in Yeshaya, Perek Samachai. He's knocking on the door and he's saying, open up, open up. So the farmer says to him, I tried to invite you in, v'lo ratzisa, you didn't want. Achshav eini yachol liftoach lecha. I can't open the door now. I'm also scared what's in the streets. I can't open the door at this point. Kach omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYisrael. Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, Shuvu banim shovavim. Come on home. I'm inviting you home. Dir shu Hashem b'himatzo. Yemin chapshuta l'kabel shovim. I'm digging tunnels for you. Mechilot. I'm digging tunnels for you. V'loi mavakish echad mehem l'shuv. And we're taking our time as if we have all the time in the world. Kev and shenim sru l'malchios. And now all of a sudden, Gali starts to take its toll. The world, the street starts to take its toll on us. We start saying, you know what, maybe we should come home. And at that point, we start saying, Hashem, why didn't you invite us home? Lama Hashem tamod barachok. Why are you standing at a distance, God? Why are you giving us a cold shoulder, Hashem? And Hashem says, I gave you so many opportunities. However, the fear of these days is the fear of missing out on these days. We don't understand the Elul the way the Baalei Musar. We're not going to capture it the way that they captured it. But something, to take something from these days. To not go through these days with a feeling that I could have done something and I missed out. The famous conversation, I'm sure some of us are familiar, but we'll review it quickly, between Rav Shimon Schwab and the Chafetz Chaim in 1930. Rav Shimon Schwab spent the Shabbos with the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim said to Rav Schwab, are you a Kohen? So he said, no, I'm not a Kohen. So the Chafetz Chaim said, that's too bad, because I'm a Kohen. So he said, Rebbe, I know you're a Kohen. So he said, well, I'm a Kohen and you're not a Kohen. So Schwab said, I understand, you're a Kohen and I'm not a Kohen. So the Chafetz Chaim said, so you know that means I'm going to work in the Beis HaMikdash and you're going to be standing on the sidelines. Very uncharacteristic of the Holy Chafetz Chaim whose yard site was yesterday, the 85th yard site. So he says, Rebbe, what do you want me to say? So the Chafetz Chaim says, why am I a Kohen and why are you not a Kohen? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mila Hashem Elai, when Moshe said, who wants to take a stand for God? My ancestors stepped up and yours didn't. And forever, we're on different paths because of that. And he said to Rav Schwab, next time you have an opportunity, Don't miss out. You have no idea how it could change the trajectory of your life. How a Chodesh Elul, if we prepare ourselves properly, even for just the next couple of days before we come to Rosh Hashanah, it'll be a different Rosh Hashanah. And if it's a different Rosh Hashanah, it'll be a different year. And Amir Tashem, exponentially over the course of a lifetime, you'll be a totally different human being. Like Rosh Hashanah was describing, you'll be a Ben Melech, not a truck driver. But a person has to take advantage of these opportunities. This past Shabbos, we read about Bikurim. We read about the first fruits. Listen to the words that the farmer says when he brings his Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. Uvasel HaKohen Asher Yeh B'Yamim HaHem. He comes to the Kohen, beginning of this past week's Parsha. Va'amarte Elav, Higarati Hayom LaHashem Elokecha. Higarati Hayom LaHashem Elokecha. I'd like to make a declaration. Ki vasi el ha'aretz asher nishba Hashem lavoseinu laseislam. I'd like to make a declaration to Hashem Elokecha, to Hashem your God, thanking Him for bringing us to the land that He promised to the Avos. Ask the Ksav Sofer, why is He referring to the Kohen? I'm bringing the first fruits, LaHashem Elokecha, to your God. Your God. Is it not my God? Does the Kohen who He's bringing the fruits to have a different God than the God of the farmer? And the Ksav Sofer explains so powerfully, so beautifully, in his writings on the Chumash. He says that's exactly what's happening here. The way Rav Chavetz Chaim said to Rav Schwab on Vayakal Pekudei 1930, he's saying to the Kohen, I'm acknowledging the fact that Hashem Elokecha, your God, not my God. We don't have exactly the same relationship with God. Because your Kohen works in Mikdash, and I'm a farmer working in the field. And Hashem loves both of us, and we both have our place, and you know, it's part of the master plan that we have a different avoda. But acknowledging a little bit, you earned Eretz Yisrael. I only got Eretz, as the Pasuk says, Asher Nishba Hashem Lavoseinu Laseislanu. But you never lost the schusim that you had because of the choices that you made as a Kohen, as a member of Shevet Levi, as someone who stood up for God when other people didn't, as someone who took advantage of an opportunity when Moshe called Mila Hashem Elai. You responded and I didn't. And therefore, Hashem Elokecha, your God is not exactly the same as my God. So have the opportunity of these days to take something from these days, to do something during these days. We only have a few days of Chodesh Elul left. We've been trying to prepare ourselves, but the shofar hasn't woken us up entirely yet. There's more to do. The Sfas Emes was once asked by one of his chassidim, as a good chassid goes to his rabbi to ask him business advice. He came in Chodesh Elul to ask him business advice. And the Sfas Emes said to him, I can't talk to you about that right now. So he said, but it's very pressing, Rabbi. I have to make some big decisions. I have to make some big decisions. I have some clients. I have some opportunities. I have some... The Sfas Emes said, there's only one big decision right now. There's only one thing that's nachutz right now, that's pressing right now. And that is doing tshuva. It's the only thing that's pressing right now. We have to stay focused. It doesn't matter that it's almost football season. It doesn't matter that, you know, there's other things that are going on. We have to stay focused. That we shouldn't, God forbid, miss out on this opportunity. I want to leave you with just one final insight from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Really an insight from Rav Yitzchak Blazer, the Talmud of Rav Yisrael Salanter. But it's recorded in the Mikrai Kodesh of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim in the previous generation. A very small piece in his writings on Yom Ha'aron, page 51. He says an amazing thing. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is trying to figure out, what does the shofar sound like? The Torah doesn't tell us how to sound the shofar. The Torah says it is a Yom Truah. It's a day of blasting. Make sounds. What are the sounds? So the Gemara says, well, Truah, the Targum of Truah is Yom Yavava. Yom Truah is Yom Yavava. Well, what's Yavava? I don't know what Yavava means. So the Gemara says, well, if we look in Sefer Shoftim, you'll remember that when Sisera is out on the battlefields and his mother is waiting for him to come back, she's sitting there, the mother of Sisera, she's sitting there, ba'ada chalo nishkafa. She's looking out the window. V'tiyabeiv eim sisra. V'tiyabeiv eim sisra. Yibaba, she's sobbing. She's crying. So that's what we know. So crying, mother of sisra. So the shofar is supposed to make some type of crying sound. Ask Rav Yitzchak Blazer, the Talmud of Rissol Salanter, the most outstanding Talmud of Rissol Salanter. Rav Yitzchak Blazer says, I don't understand. Why does the Gemara need to bring the mother of Sisera into this? Now we know, 100 shofar blasts, the mother of Sisera. I'm just trying to figure out, what does the mother of Sisera have to do? Why do I need to look at the description of the mother of Sisera to understand crying? You told me, Yom Truah in Aramaic means Yom Yavava. Yavava means crying, means sobbing. Why do I need the mother of Sisera? Why do I need that image of the mother of Sisera sitting by the window waiting for her valiant warrior son to come back from the battlefields. So Rav Yitzchak Blazer of Itzel Petterburger explained, he said, because think about what she's feeling in that moment. She's literally holding, she's holding at the most delicate crossroad of life. Either her son's going to come back a hero, a decorated general from the battlefield, she's going to be overjoyed to see the success of her son, or her son is dead and her whole world was just ruined. Says Rav Yitzchak Blazer, that's the image you have to have before your eyes during the shofar. I know it's a very intense image that I just painted. But to see yourself as hanging in the balance, that you're standing at the crossroad of life and death, you're standing at the crossroad between the awesomest bracha in the world, Melech Chafetz B'chaim, Hashem wants to give you all good things, Hazinu v'zos ha-bracha, that when you walk away, you'll still hear the bracha that God bestowed upon you during these days. Or God forbid, you're going to say, I killed myself. Even if, not chas v'shalom, a person physically dies. But I killed the opportunity to grow in my Yiras Shamayim. I killed the opportunity to daven that I should have success in my learning. I killed the opportunity to get that internship in the summer, which I'm not even thinking about yet. I killed the opportunity that the girl would like me and she'd say yes to a second date, which would lead to my marriage. I killed all those opportunities. We have to have that picture of the mother or sister sitting by the window where everything is hanging in the balance. A fear of a lost opportunity. I'm either going to celebrate or I'm going to cry. That's the feeling we have to have during these days. So Amir Tashem, we should take advantage. I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm trying to be ma'oras to take advantage of the little bit of El that we have left. There's a big difference when a person comes to the Yom Noram and he's prepared, and a Jew just stumbles in before the king. Rolls out of bed and stumbles in. Do something. Again, like Rav Mechel Handler said when he had that life and death encounter. 9/11's next week. You can think about it on Rosh Hashanah itself, during the Yom Noram itself. He says, I was trapped, I got out, I made it through, I'm alive. Do tshuva, Mashiach is coming. That's our mission statement for every day of our life. So Amir Tashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to actualize that opportunity, that potential. And Amir Tashem, every one of us will be zocha to ksiv v'chsimato. Thank you.